Hello, this is Dave with the newspaper News Gazette for December 15th, 2024. And we'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, "It's a Weekend Special, Tragic Death of Dania Staple, Centennial Sophomore on Road to Remember." Article titled, "In Her Honor." This is by Joey Wright. Champaign. It's easy for Dewan Lane to recall good times spent with Dania Staple. Siblings would be a more accurate way to describe the cousins who grew up under the same roof and shared a close bond during their childhoods. She wanted to help people a lot, Lane said. She just loved going out of her way to make a difference and make someone's day or make a change. Other members of the tight-knit family viewed their bond through the same lens. He definitely got on her nerves, but what little brother wouldn't get on your nerves? Older cousin Jaleesi Kinney said, I kind of feel like that's why, you know, you can't live without your system, and then now you are. Staple hasn't faded from people's memories in the months after she and George Doris Rogers were killed and two others wounded in a pop-up party shooting on July 28th on Cynthia Drive in Champaign. That's in large part thanks to Lane, who has organized an effort to have a stretch of a Champaign Street, Kenwood Road, between William and John Streets, named in Staple's honor. He's doing all this all on his own, Kinney said. All on his own, and for one person to have impacted your life like that, to where you want to go out of your way in the rest of your days, to make sure that she's not forgotten, to try and keep the positivity that she gave to all of us alive. I think it's interesting to watch him go through this process. Lane will tell you that public speaking isn't his forte, but it's not far removed from the wheelhouse of the centennial sophomore, who is involved in a myriad of extracurricular activities and is present and visible within the school, according to Principal Sarah Sanders. Feedback from Staples' friends and family was overwhelmingly positive after Lane voiced his support for the street at a Champaign City Council meeting on December 3rd. A lot of people, they've been supportive of me, Lane said. People flew in from out of state. They drove in. They stopped what they were doing. The city of Champaign, they supported me too. They've been good too. I'm glad they've been working with me. Lane's motivation to honor Staple didn't surprise many within Centennial's staff, which Lane and Staple's mother, Fenice Muhammad, credit with supporting the family during a difficult time. Dewan is such a leader, and he cares a lot about people, Sanders said. I think this is his way of helping to keep her spirit alive so that we can remember all the joy that she brought to Champaign, to all of us. I'm proud of the young man that he is becoming and has become. The city dedicates up to 4 streets per year through its program, which pays tribute to individuals and organizations that have made significant contributions within the community. Late local music pioneer Mark Rubel and faith leaders Claude Shelby and Charles Nash Sr. were each honored earlier this year, and Staple, who graduated from Centennial in May, was involved with the Chargers cheerleading team. Fit that criteria, her loved ones say. She was very smart, classmate Elena Osei said. She was very funny. She had a very bright personality where she could just brighten the room with just saying anything. Her smile was very contagious, and overall, she was just a really happy person. Osei, a current Centennial cheerleader, was among those especially close with her former teammate. I have had her little sister cheer with me on senior night, Osei said. so that I can relive the memory of cheering and doing Dania's favorite cheers with her little sister. So it feels almost like I'm doing it with her still. Staples' professional ambition was to be a nurse. Her respectful and humble qualities are remembered fondly by Muhammad, who works in healthcare and was moved upon learning that Dania D. Staple Way could soon be a physical marker of her daughter's legacy. "I broke down," Muhammad said. "My nephew, he's been doing a lot of things behind the scenes, and it's been hard for me. I've been having a lot of support with my family. Everybody's taking it hard, but it's been a very hard battle for me. It's hard to kind of go on, but I know I have to for the rest of my family." After a study session on December 3rd resulted in several people speaking in favor of council members approving the resolution, the next step is a formal vote at Tuesday night's meeting. That date falls nearly 5 months after Staples' passing. No arrests have been made in the murders of Staple and Doris Rogers. "I'm confident that the Champaign Police Department is doing everything they can to try and bring these people to justice," Muhammad said, "but it's very sentimental to talk about because it's so fresh." And Lane's efforts to honor his sister-like cousin have helped bring many positive sentiments to the surface. Dania is a success story that was ended too soon for the gun violence in our community, Muhammad said. She was all about helping people. And continuing with the opinion of Tom Kasich, article titled "Scarcity, Sacrifice, Sorrow." In 44, wartime Christmas in Champaign-Urbana took a toll. Christmas 1944 in the United States wasn't supposed to be like this. 5 months earlier, pollster George Gallup reported that 59% of Americans thought the war with Germany would be over by the end of the year. Even more optimistically, 14% of those polled thought the war with Japan would be over by the end of 1944. The Joint Chiefs of Staff tried to tamp down the hopefulness, issuing a statement a few weeks after D-Day that warned, "There is still a tough fight ahead of us." The recent favorable course of the fighting seems to have persuaded some people that the war is as good as won, and that, accordingly, they can throw up their war jobs and go back to civilian life, the chiefs of the Army, Navy, and Army Air Force said in a statement. And by late November, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill told Parliament that his recent prediction of victory in Europe by early summer might have to be revised by dropping the word "early." Christmas in Champaign-Urbana 80 years ago, the fourth one with the nation at war, was a gloomy one of scarcity, sacrifice, and sorrow. On the third anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, University of Illinois students organized a tribute to the 337 Illini who already had lost their lives in the war. Were it not for these dead, this university would probably long since have ceased to exist, said U of I President Arthur C. Willard. Everything that we have today, we owe to them. Enrollment at the University of Illinois was down to 7,077 students, and most of them were women. Many of the men still on campus were V-12 students or those enrolled in the Navy College Training Program, aimed at increasing the number of commissioned officers. The Christmas break for most students would be from December 21st through January 1, but Naval trainees got only December 25th off. Royal McClellan, Secretary of the Champaign Chamber of Commerce, suggested that early Christmas shopping, quote, will be especially wise this year because of merchandise and help shortages, unquote. Department stores agreed to stay open until 9 p.m. on just 3 nights during the holiday season, because of the paucity of employees and product. On all other days, they closed at 5:30 p.m. Many of the newspaper ads that stores ran included an appeal to buy more war bonds to help finance the fighting overseas. Governor Dwight Green announced that there would be no reception or ball for the inauguration of state officials on January 8th, in keeping with wartime austerity. The sparsity of tobacco was so acute that some stores were requiring customers to turn over an empty pack of cigarettes before they could purchase a new one. Others proposed selling cigarettes individually at a penny apiece until they learned that was against federal law. Nearly every day's newspaper carried a story about a serviceman who had been killed or was missing in action. Shortly before Christmas Day, the News Gazette reported that the son of Urbana Mayor George Heard had been killed in England when the plane he was piloting crashed shortly after taking off on what would have been his last mission before returning to the United States. There were also regular stories about servicemen who were home on leave or had completed their time overseas. 19-year-old Tommy Castile of Champaign was home for Christmas and related how his destroyer transport was sunk and he lost everything he had, except his dog tags and his gold medal for winning the 1940 Champaign-Urbana Soapbox Derby competition. The great irony of the last World War II Christmas in Champaign-Urbana is that people had plenty of money but little to purchase. The Family Welfare Association said that there was virtually no need for holiday charity. Wartime jobs and checks from men in service and higher wages for many made it possible for the Family Welfare Society to practically close shop during the last few days before Christmas, the News Gazette reported. After almost 15 consecutive years of a financial depression and wartime frugality, the housing stock in Champaign County was becoming substandard, according to the Illinois Association of Housing Authorities. Some 34% of Champaign homes and 35.3% of those in Urbana were considered substandard, which was defined as being in need of major repairs or lacking a private indoor flush toilet or private bath. In rural Champaign County, 73% of housing units were declared substandard. But everyone, it seems, had a job or two. Champaign High School students received class credit for working part-time jobs in retail stores. 400 people, including many female U of I students, were employed at Time Magazine's National Subscription Center that had been set up at the University Ice Arena. An unprecedented avalanche of orders to Time Incorporated Publications, Time, Life, Fortune, and Architectural Forum has confronted officials of the Subscription Fulfillment Division and is responsible for a new shift being organized, said the Champaign-Urbana Courier. The regular operations here, originally scheduled on a 5-day week, is now embracing Saturday mornings as officials seek to process Christmas orders in time to have the magazines started in mailing by December 25th. Full-page ads ran regularly in both the News Gazette and the Courier, practically begging people to apply for jobs at Boeing in Seattle and at a wartime rubber plant in Kankakee. Help build the B-29 Superfortress, the big new Boeing bomber, said one ad that promised good pay, excellent working conditions, and free transportation to Seattle, Washington. Champaign-Urbana residents noticed swarms of helicopters flying over the prairie to Chanute Field in Rantoul. The Army Air Force's helicopter training program had been transferred from Freeman Field in Seymour, Indiana, to join the helicopter maintenance program already at Chanute. Despite the warnings by wartime leaders and government officials against over-optimism, planning for a post-war Champaign-Urbana was well underway. University of Illinois trustees endorsed the idea of a $2.3 million sports building that would include a 20,000-seat arena and a swimming pool to be built with a state appropriation. The Champaign County War Dads Association proposed building a wing to Champaign's Burnham City Hospital as a memorial to the county's veterans. U of I officials were planning to take over operation of the university's new airport south of Champaign once lighting, radio equipment, and other improvements came from the federal government. And Professor Henry Stillwell, head of the U of I Department of Aeronautical Engineering, predicted that the post-war family would be able to fly its own safe private airplane. Tom Kasich's column appears in the News Gazette, and he can be reached at kasich@newsgazette.com. Continuing inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. As her fourth grade students at Lincoln Trail in Mahomet can attest, Barb Barker wasn't her usual spunky self on January 12, 1979. Blame it on Lou Henson's Illini, who kept her up late, rehashing and reveling in the program's first win against number one, a 57-55 thing of beauty over Magic Johnson and Michigan State on January 11. You go home after the game and you can't sleep, for one thing, she said. The next day, you definitely can't get anything accomplished. Barker is an expert on these things. She's one of the lucky ones, having attended all three of the Illini's upsets of number one, 2004 versus Wake Forest, 2013 versus Indiana. Brad Underwood's team could have made it four when Tennessee visited on Sunday. I think my favorite player, Will Riley, is going to do something special, Barker said. Barker, 80, spent part of her childhood in Champaign, attending Edison and Central, before moving here for good in 1975 when she married Dick. She's been a loyal fan since, cheering on the Illini at home and on the road with a group of six couples who went by Chiefer by the dozen. She isn't sure the Illini will win, would have won on Sunday, Saturday. Her only guarantee is how it will play out if they do, having experienced it three times before. Exhilarating, she said. It's chaos. And in area history, in 1924, merchants, bankers, and advertisers throughout the state were warned of the operations of a crew of slippery, fake advertising solicitors after the gentleman forced Twin City merchants out of several hundreds of dollars on a bogus advertising deal. And in 1974, the list of official mayoral candidates in Champaign jumped to five as Donald Tennant announced he will run, and Seeley Johnston, who has already announced, said he will file his nominating petitions. In 2009, Champaign plans to issue city citations to bars where minors are frequently found in possession of alcohol. Until now, the city ticketed the underage customers, but not the bar owners. International history, today's highlight. On December 14, 2012, a gunman with a semi-automatic rifle killed 20 first graders and six educators at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, then took his own life as police arrived. The 20-year-old had also fatally shot his mother at their home before carrying out the attack on the school. On this date in 1799, the first president of the United States, George Washington, died at his Mount Vernon, Virginia home at age 67. And in 1911, Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen and his team became the first men to reach the South Pole, beating out a British expedition led by Robert F. Scott. And in 1964, the U.S. Supreme Court in Heart of Atlanta Motel versus United States ruled that Congress was within its authority to enforce the Civil Rights Act of 1964 against racial discrimination by private businesses. And continuing with Kathy's mailbag, among the many questions asked of multimedia reporter Kathy Reiser, speeding is out of control on the streets of Champaign. Has the city ever considered the use of speed cameras to issue tickets and put a dent in this problem? Champaign Police spokesperson Joe Lamberson said he checked with the city's legal department and found that, under state law, automated speed enforcement systems are only allowed for use by the Illinois Department of Transportation in construction zones or under specific circumstances by municipalities with a population of 1 million or more. Thus, the law does not allow Champaign or other local municipalities to use these devices. He said Champaign police work every day to address drivers who fail to obey the rules of the road and who disregard speed limits. This is accomplished through encouraging good behavior like displaying actual travel speeds on CPD's four-speed trailers and through enforcement action. Anyone who knows of a specific area of the community that needs officer attention is encouraged to fill out the Champaign Department's online neighborhood traffic concern form and tell officers about the issue. So, which city department actually sets speed limits? Lambert said Public Works oversees the process following established guidance from city council policies. The next question is, I read that the Virginia Theater's security technology will be upgraded during a planned closure in the next few months. Just curious, have any performers or shows taken a pass on appearing at the Virginia because of concerns over access control or other security issues? And the answer is, to my awareness, the Virginia Theater has never lost a show due to the show security available there, said the theater's longtime director, Stephen Bentz. I've never seen that happen. He said the Champaign Park District, which owns the Virginia, has been updating access control at all of its facilities and in some of its parks to replace traditional keys with magnetic locking mechanisms that enhance security through digital monitoring and video features. The Virginia had been on schedule for the lock upgrades in fiscal year 2025-26, but with the theater's planned closure for other upgrades in the first few months of 2025, staff and board members opted to install the electronic lock system a little early to minimize later disruptions. The improvements are expected to be done well in time for Eberfest, which begins on April 23rd. The next question was, we have WHMS on in the office for most of the day, and Christmas music is an office hit this time of year. But I swear I've heard that Kelly Clarkson song 10 times the last 2 days. How many holiday hits are in the HMS Christmas rotation, and which ones get the most airplay? WHMS music director Allie Adams said the station has more than 600 songs in its holiday library. Our power Christmas tunes are familiar songs like All I Want for Christmas Is You, Home for the Holidays, Last Christmas, White Christmas, etc. Also, keep in mind with many, if not most, of the songs in our holiday library, there are multiple versions of the same song. Always grateful for the feedback and appreciate the listeners who follow us throughout the year, especially during the holidays. Next question is it legal in Illinois to flick your high beams on and off to politely remind an oncoming motorist that their car's high beam headlights are on? The reader who posed the question went on to say he'd taken driver ed in another state some years ago and had learned that a momentary flick of the high beams was a common signal that another driver should then either lower his headlights as requested, or if I had misjudged, quickly flick his own high beams on and off to signal, hey, I'm innocent. I have engaged in this conversation many times over the decades, usually with success. But since moving to Illinois a few years ago, I have never, not even once, had the other driver respond in either way to my signal that I thought his high beams were on. Is this just not taught in Illinois driver ed classes? We checked with Unity High School's driver ed teacher, Chance Typer, who said, "Funny you should ask that, as we just covered the topic this week in my classes." He said the Illinois Rules of the Road book does not specifically state that drivers should flash their high beam headlights in any situation. It only gives specific distances at which drivers should switch from high beam to low beam headlights when approaching a vehicle from behind or head on. In those cases, the measurements are 300 feet and 500 feet, respectively. The rule book also says that flashing or oscillating lights are illegal, unless on authorized vehicles or to signal turns. But, said Typer, I was also taught the flash etiquette many years ago at Sullivan High School while taking driver education. That being said, I would never tell any young driver to do anything that is illegal while on the roadway, and therefore cannot teach them to flash their headlights. Typer does, however, acknowledge that some students' parents may teach them the practice, or if they see other drivers do it to them, that generally means they forgot to change to their low beam lights. Next question was, been racking my brain to think of the name of the elegant Italian restaurant on the east side of First Street a few decades ago. Can you help? I checked with Mary Manzella, whose extended family has been involved with many, if not most, of CU's Italian restaurants, and she had a ready answer. It was Little Italy, owned by her uncle and aunt, Joe and Josephine Manzella. As she recalls, they built it from the ground up on the site of a former gas station at 302 South First Street in about 1989. She remembers the exterior having a terracotta finish with bluish colored linens on the tables. Joe and Josephine later leased the building to the owners of Basmati, 1998 to 2008, and then Bombay Indian Grill. Dan Hamelberg and the University Group eventually bought the property and razed the restaurant building to make way for the Midtown Plaza retail and residential complex. Next question, is the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl in Orlando the successor to the Orange Bowl? That name just seems like an odd combination to me. The names don't have to make sense as long as the sponsors are happy and investors make a profit. Maybe next year we'll see a sugar frosted flakes beef bowl or a Kool-Aid pistachio bowl. The Orange Bowl, based in the Miami area, is still around. It is one of the college football playoff series of bowls that also includes the Rose, Sugar, Fiesta, Cotton, and Peach bowls. The CheezItCitrusBowl.com website tells us that particular bowl game got its start as the Tangerine Bowl in 1947. The game continued to be known as the Tangerine Bowl into the early 1980s. After that, it was the Florida Citrus Bowl, Capital One Bowl, and now the Just Plain Citrus Bowl. Cheez-Its, a Kellogg's brand, bought naming rights in 2022. The Illini will face the Gamecocks of South Carolina on New Year's Eve on ABC. This isn't Illinois' first appearance in a bowl game with a name that doesn't exactly trip off the tongue. That's all we have time for today. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, December 15th, 2024. Please stay tuned.